Revelation chapter 9. There have been many foolish people throughout history who've studied the book of Revelation and come away with absolute confidence that everything they believed, everything they interpreted, was the correct interpretation. I'm not going to ever say that because there are going to be some differences in some areas. But it's not to be a hard book. Revelation is to reveal. And so if it's hopelessly tangled, we've done that, not the Lord. We can't just push it aside as something beyond us. It's not. It's given to us to know things the Lord wants us to know that are to come. Verse 1, Revelation chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who did not or do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Let's pray. Well, we are not a people who desire woe, and yet we live in a condition of woe if we do not know you. And Lord, we also know by experience and observation that many who think they're safe are not safe. That many who feel they are not secure. That those who are ready are not ready to face you. That is part of the deception of the devil. And yet, Lord, we know that you want your people to be assured. The devil wants your people to doubt. The devil would like his people to be sure. So, Lord, as we look at this fifth trumpet, may the proper fear be in us. As we've prayed for the salvation of others, that your fear would be upon them, that they might turn to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In baseball, there's something called a brushback pitch. Didn't do it in Little League. They frowned upon that in Little League. They kind of frown upon it in the major leagues, too. What will happen is a pitcher will throw a ball, fastball, inside and kind of brush you back from the plate. It's dangerous if the pitcher is not exactly accurate. More than one batter has rushed the mound after that because he's upset. It's caused plenty of fights. But it's almost expected. It used to be very expected. It's not as expected anymore or tolerated. But it's expected that the pitcher of the team that you're batting against will try to get you out and intimidate you and brush you back from the plate in order to win. But what if this happened? Instead of throwing at the batter, the pitcher throws a fastball at his manager in the dugout. And then at his own players. And then his wife in the stands, he slings one up there. Now we're talking about way out of bounds. Brush back an opponent? Okay. But your own team? Did you notice anything weird in this passage I just read? Doesn't seem right. Revelation reveals Jesus Christ retaking the earth. We saw that with the scroll. The scroll that the Lamb takes is really the title deed to the world. And the Lamb takes it and begins opening the seals. And every seal makes an impact upon the earth. And it's the act of Jesus opening up this scroll, which had words front and back, that shows that he is the rightful owner of the world that we forfeited to the devil in the garden. And he now is the God of this age. And in Revelation, there are clearly two sides. There's God's side, and then there's the devil's side. God and the devil. We see the devil persecuting. We see God protecting. And we naturally expect that God will care for his side and that the devil will care for his side. God does care for his people. We've seen that. He's concerned about the martyrs. He's concerned about our overcoming, as our Lord says to the churches. But if you think the devil's the same way, you're sorely mistaken. When we turn to the devil, the fifth trumpet shows us that if you thought the devil would be nicer to his people, you're completely wrong. People right now are either biblically now in the kingdom of God or in the devil's kingdom. Because we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son, Jesus, when we're saved. There's not a middle ground here. Two ways, the broad way, the narrow way. You're either on the broad way or the narrow way. You're in the king's, the king of kings' kingdom, or you're in the devil's kingdom. It's just not another place that you can be. And the devil does not, however, favor his own people. We might expect it because they're his people. Not at all. The devil is just as opposed to his people as he is to God's people. The devil hates his people. He hates God's people. If you're a people, you get no special favor from the devil. There are a lot of people today who are proud to be in the devil's kingdom. They want to please the devil. There are people who worship the devil. There are religions, Satanists, who worship the devil. There are people who get the mark of the devil tattooed on them. They hope by doing that, that the devil will look at them and go, "Oh, what a nice son I have there. Let me give him a car." It doesn't happen. I'm not saying he doesn't give cars away, but he has no favor for his people. The devil doesn't love his children. He has no compassion. He's against every one of them. Because he hates and destroys. There are people who just go through life and they destroy. You know, the people who make a mess. There are people who are evil. There are people who go into a store and just at night break in and just tear the place apart. There are people who walk by your car in a parking lot, if it's a new car, they'll take a key and they'll scrape it right down the side. Just out of mischief. Do you think they're more evil than the devil? Do you think these people who do these wicked things and completely meaningless and fruitless, do you think they're meaner than the devil? The devil's got them beaten bad. These are just little bits of an edge of what the devil is. The devil doesn't favor anybody. The devil is against every thought we have of what teamwork should look like. It's not God and his people and the devil and his people, rah, rah, rah. It's God and his people, and the devil is against everybody. And the fifth trumpet shows this. There's one source in Revelation of judgment, that's God. God is the one, Jesus is the one that rolls out these judgments. But it is revealed through two combatants. It is not just God who is seen punishing the world, but the devil also, like an obedient slave, implements the will of God by punishing his own people. The restrainer, we're told right now, keeps all this from breaking out. But once that restraint is lifted by God, the world explodes. Will the devil say, whoa, now wait a minute, let's not go overboard. The devil is the king of overboard. The devil does not have restraint. He's restrained and then he breaks out. Don't try this at home. If you have a hand grenade, and you know, growing up, we had toy hand grenades. I bet you can't buy one now. Don't especially get the real thing. But they have little pins in them. That's the restrainer. The pin is a restrainer. It's not called that. It's called a pin. But it's a restrainer. You pull the pin, the thing explodes. In the future, when God removes restraint, the devil doesn't have to ramp himself up to act evil. He's already there. You explode by nature. And that's what happens. In these seven trumpets are an outworking of what we see in the sixth seal. I've been talking to you about parallels. In the sixth seal, we see nature, and then we see men receive punishment and judgment. Nature's judgment is not because of they sin, but because man sin, but it's directed at nature. And in the sixth seal, God begins direct implementation of his wrath. But he does it by himself and through the devil. And he carries out the fifth trumpet through the devil. Nature was hit in the first four trumpets because of man's sin, and now God turns to men directly, but through the devil. Verse 1. The fifth angel sounded. And these are soundings of judgment. I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. A star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. Revelation makes a lot of use of symbolism. A star. If an actual star in the heavens falls to earth, what is left? A star is like a zillion times bigger than the earth. I think the actual scientific formula is a zillion point one times bigger. It would engulf us. So this is symbolic. A star falls from heaven to the earth. Now, it could be an angel of God, but it sure doesn't sound like an angel of God here, does it? It looks like it fits the description of the devil. Notice the Bible here says that he had fallen to the earth. Past tense. And that star was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, angels of God would sometimes unfold things through God's direction. We see it in Zechariah 2. But in this case, I believe we're referring to the devil who had fallen from heaven. Luke 10:18. Let's look at a few places. Luke 10:18. This is a reference to what happened to the devil. The devil having access to God, being, you know, one of God's supreme creations in the angelic world. Verse 18 of Luke chapter 10, he said to them, Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. We have a couple of intimations of it in the Old Testament. Although it's referring to a king, Isaiah 14:12-15, Ezekiel 28:12-16, speak of kings in a supernatural way. That there's someone behind them. We see it also in Daniel, where the kings are not just human kings, they're actually satanically inspired, demonically influenced. And by the way, that happens today still. We've not grown out of that. Some people think that the devil was only active when there was no technology, before electricity, before we were sophisticated, before we had a more upright civilization. That's completely erroneous to say. Because the devil and his influence has persisted. It still does. The devil influences, the devil possesses, the devil oppresses, the devil moves his people in certain ways. So the star from heaven, I'm taking, I think, very confidently as the devil. And he's given a key to the bottomless pit. Now, when you think of bottomless pit, you might think of iced tea in a restaurant. Well, they come in and say, you got a bottomless glass of tea. You can get a bottomless bunch of fries at Red Robin in Columbia. They'll just keep them rolling. The problem is, you know, we have a bottom to the pit. But they'll keep them rolling. The bottomless aspect means there's no limit in capacity. A bottomless pit means the pit can hold as much as you want to put in there. And so it is a place that is never full. You can't pour everything in there and fill it up. It is a place that could hold all the spirits that we see coming out in Revelation 9. Now, what is it about? We talk about the origin of the devil. The devil fell outside of our time. This is something that has happened before we were around, I think. There's no indication in Scripture. I reject the gap theory in Genesis 1:1-2. There's nothing in Scripture that speaks to the devil falling. The devil was fallen. When we're created, there he is in the garden. And when he fell, Revelation 12:6, if we take the dragon as what I think it is referring to, Revelation 12:6, to be of the devil. It says the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared, and so she was kept there. And in verse 16, the dragon goes after her. Well, what we see there is that when the dragon falls, he doesn't fall alone, because he goes down and there's actual warfare in heaven. There are two sides. And the side of the devil is against the side of God. And because of that, we see that in this world, the devil is not alone. The devil has, as we hear in Ephesians, we wrestle against a host of evil spirits. And so they fell. Maybe the reference in Revelation is to a third of the stars of heaven. A great number. But not all angels are the same. Some people say, could the world get any worse? We got a bad world right now. Could it get any worse? Boy, it really, 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 really can and will. For one, the restrainer will let loose the control and the restraint. But then there's this thing. We see that he has the key to the bottomless pit. And he uses it. Well, what's in the bottomless pit? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. What is that about? We know, and it's pretty clear, that this world is influenced greatly by demonic activity. Whether it's sophisticated to believe it or not, it's true. That there are many evil spirits in the world. 2 Peter 2, verse 4, mentions some of these. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. Some angels are not free. According to the Bible, Jude also, just a little bit over, Jude verse 6 mentions this as well, very near to what Peter says. Jude verse 6, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. They're in jail. There is a devil's jail. There is a demonic jail. There's an evil spirit's jail. And he holds them there in a pit of darkness until the judgment. And we probably could say that if some are out and some are not, we might reasonably conclude that the ones who aren't are even worse than the ones who are out. If you can imagine that. Because as soon as he opens the pit here, things get extremely more worse. By permission of God, the devil then is given the key, and what's the first thing he does for his people? He opens up the pit. What's the first thing a lot of prisoners do when they get out of jail? Commit a crime. These angels held up from the time they fell, not released and free like the others, are released, and it's hell on earth. From the Lord's judgment and from the devil's will as well. Although his is for a different motivation. And out they come. We're told, verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Smoke is a symbol of judgment here. If you're out riding and taking your cattle to market, and you're going through some canyons in New Mexico, and you look and you see smoke signals going up over there, in the direction you're headed. You may not know what they say, but it's not a good sign. Whenever that happened in the Westerns, you see smoke signals, something bad happens right after that. Smoke is a symbol here of judgment. The smoke pouring up is the first aspect of that. And then we see, out of the smoke, verse 3, locusts came upon the earth. They weren't normal locusts. Locusts are insects who eat crops. And they swarm. And they can wipe out a crop in a little bit of time. A locust horde, a locust plague, is one of the most feared infestations by farmers. Because they come in, they wipe it out. You can see they're not normal locusts. But the fact that that symbol is used shows that they're very numerous and that they have a potential for great destruction. Verse 7 of chapter 9, Revelation, says the appearance of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads there appeared to be crowns like gold. Their faces were like the faces of men. Hair like the hair of women. Teeth were like lions. Breastplates of iron. The sound of the wings was like the sound of chariots. Many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings. And their tails have power to hurt men for 5 months. You know that's not a locust that we have. That is a tricked out locust. That locust, it's got long hair. That locust has the face of a man. It has a crown. It's a symbol here. Some would say it is actual locust. I don't think it's an actual locust. It's possible, as some say, that demons could take the form of locusts. I believe what he's speaking of here is not about crops. They're not ravishing crops. They're stinging men. But at least these are demonic, out of the pit spirits who are swarming and destroying like locusts. And they were instructed to inflict pain on unbelievers. Verse 4, they were told not to hurt the grass. That was in the first four trumpets. Nor any green thing, nor any tree. And the fact that there's grass here again, after it said in the previous ones that all the grass is burnt up, that's of no matter. These are each visions. This shows us a truth. It's not actual, you know, burning up all the grass. We don't have any more left. It's showing the truth every time. So don't worry about that. But they weren't even, they couldn't touch the plant life. But only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, that's unbelievers. They were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. I understand that the lifespan of a locust is about 5 months. So during the time that the locust would normally swarm and destroy, they will afflict men with severe pain. And men will seek death, and they will not find it. And all of that is directed by verse 11, a ruler, a king, the angel of the abyss, who is called in the Hebrew Abaddon and in the Greek Apollyon. It means destroyer. The plague of locusts destroys. The burning of fire and smoke destroys. The devil is a destroyer. And that's what we see laid out here. The first woe, great pain. Now, the devil offered Adam and Eve something different than this. When the devil tempted Eve, he said, you know, the Lord is keeping you from something that is better than what you have. Because if you eat this tree, you'll have something God knows will be better, and he's keeping it from you. That's the lie the devil, the world, believes to this day. But the devil offers them something the Lord does not. And so he told them, if you will take these drugs, you'll feel so much better and you'll never regret. You'll always feel good. But he doesn't tell you about becoming addicted and wasting your life and being destroyed by it. So instead of life, we had lingering and horrific eternal death. You know, everybody that dies today is a result of sin. Not that they sin, but because the human race sinned. And so death was brought in. In all the suffering, all the pain, all the disease, all the difficulties. And the devil said it would be better, and it was nothing but worse. It's only destruction. And so the final destruction we see here is the punishment upon mankind for this foolish choice we made to believe the devil, when the devil is not for us. The devil is against us. The devil does not favor us. The devil is not better. Doesn't offer a better thing. When you say you're going to live it up, you're under the devil's plan, that's not going to be life. You ever gone to the door, somebody come to the door, and you talk to them, a friend of yours just came by, and you talked to them, and then you said bye to them, and you went, and then you looked in the mirror, and your hair was standing straight up. And you're going, oh, no. I thought I was fine. I thought I was, but now I wasn't. Well, see, the devil always gets us that point where we think we're fine, and we got our hair sticking up. And in the end, it bites. Because the Lord said that in the day you eat of this fruit, you will die. Here it is, played out to the end. The devil bringing upon his own people the pains of death from sin. A lot of people think the devil's clever. He is, in a wicked way. Oh, to have the devil be on my side, he never will be. He hinders the spread of the gospel in places that really could use it, that would help mankind. He holds men captive to his will and to destroy themselves. After men do the will of the devil, he fusses at them for it. He works both sides of it. Makes them miserable for following his will. He always hates men. Men are made in the image of God. He hates God. He hates men. And here he's God's instrument of wrath, but he's not forced. He does exactly what he wants to do. If you tap on a hornet's nest, you're not making them do anything they don't want to do already when they come after you. The devil does exactly what he wants to do. Why are we told this? The whole world of the devil is one of deception. If you're not saved, you're in the domain of darkness. But you don't feel that. You feel fine. And even have an optimistic view of the future. People are very optimistic about the future. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be fine. Most people are more concerned about their insurance policy than they are about getting into heaven. If their insurance is a little bit off, they go, I need to look into that. But if you mention about God, they say, well, I think we'll be okay. And the devil does that. And the devil is shown here by our Lord Jesus exactly what he is. He is not for his people. He is against his people. Plus, he'll be destroyed just like his people will. He doesn't want to go down alone. This unbridled optimism the world has, that things will work out. Some people over time understand that things get worse. We get older. Things are harder. Some people get disillusioned. But the Bible tells us here exactly what the deal is. you're not the Lord's, you're the devil's. And if you're the devil's, there's a time here, and I think maybe we'll talk about it more later, another time, but maybe during that 5 months there was a call to repentance. We're told they didn't repent, at least a lot of them. But the pain of sin, if the pain of sin could be gripping us today, we would think that people would want to get out. It's not necessarily so, but we would think that. This is what this is about. To show us that the devil is the destroyer, and we have got to escape his clutches. Let's pray. Lord, because of you, we can escape the domain of darkness. And we can be in your kingdom. What a glorious change that is. That we would be your people. And may the proper fear be in us today. Or may nobody here one day hear the casting away of their souls into perdition for eternity, who this morning heard that the devil's kingdom can be escaped by faith in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You take your hymn book for the last song. 353, I've decided while preaching, among other things I was doing, that we won't have service tonight. I've got a pain in my mouth for some reason. We will not have service tonight. Let's all stand. 353, Jesus is Lord of all. Everybody get that announcement? You can ignore the tongue part. Just the 353, let's all stand. Jesus is Lord of all. I think they're traveling, but just share with your family if you know people is getting up. Oh, let's go to church. Just let them know before they get here that we're not having it. Kevin, would you dismiss us?